Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 106. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me. I probably peaked things out there. I got a little excited.
Got a little excited for 106.
Got a little excited, man. It's a beautiful Thursday afternoon. We usually sit down and do these things on Thursday evening. Just like last week, we're just here in Las Vegas on our day off. Unlike last week, we don't have hurricane force winds outside.
That's
we're just
true.
Chilling on a beautiful day. April and October, man. No question about it. The best months out of the year in Las Vegas. If you can ever sneak out.
Yeah.
March a little bit, but it gets a little cold on Sundays. But April and October, God bless, man.
Yeah,
beautiful months.
It's beautiful. Earlier today, I made a point to sit on the back swing and just kind of read the paper. Was listening to a podcast sitting outside. Just kind of swinging my feet, just enjoying it, man. Like, this is the best time of the year. And it stays like this pretty much morning to night. It's just like 70s.
Oh, it's
or
great.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe got up to 80s
maybe,
at
yeah,
some
maybe
point.
Like 80,
but, I mean,
80, 81.
But it doesn't feel like it. It just feels like 70s. I mean, it's incredible. Still wore shorts comfortably. You know, wear your, of course, wearing sandals, you know, of course. I mean, unless you want to wear shoes. I think you have shoes on.
I actually got shoes on. Yeah,
you got tennis on. Good for you.
I got shoes.
That's because you were at the gym.
I did. I went to the gym. I should say, even though we went to the gym, we're now at Boomers because that's the only place you go on a Thursday. It's
thirsty.
Two for one. Frosty beverages all day long. We didn't make the trip out to Buffalo for UFC 210, mm-hmm. Cormier versus Johnson 2. So we're just hanging out in Las Vegas, and, of course, we're doing it at Boomers like we always do. Yeah, I went to the gym this morning trying to do things right,
trying to get
my little workout on, you know, doing the right things. But, of course, no good deed goes unpunished. And what happened? My wife left her keys at the gym. Before we started this podcast, I had to make the 45-minute – because you live out in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Oh, I do, huh?
Yeah, I mean, just
– like right in the middle of nothing.
Who lives like 12 seconds behind the Palace Station and like – 4 minutes from the strip. Nobody.
You know, and 5 minutes from the airport. I mean, why would somebody ever want to do that?
So yeah, I live out in the on the outskirts of town, we'll say, and but I did. I went to the gym this morning, put in a little bit of cardio, did a little bit of work, and unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately. I had my wife, my son with me, but unfortunately,
those darn family.
Yeah.
Members.
Now my wife, she does it big. She does two a days.
Yeah.
I'm not quite up to that level just yet. She does two a day, so
no, not quite.
Ever. Ever. We'll just say we'll be honest. But yeah, so I went. We do Lifetime Fitness out in Henderson, which is nice.
No, that's
it's nice.
We've been to yours because we came out there, met you guys at the pool that one day.
Oh yeah,
y'all's club is super fancy,
dude.
Like,
it's
super
nice.
Fancy. I'm an LVAC man.
Our membership is about like a car payment. I'm just gonna say it's not cheap.
Well,
it's
good
nice.
Thing you're using it. No, your gym is very, very, very nice. I'm LVAC, which is Las Vegas Athletic Club.
Right.
You know, it's an everyday man's club or woman's club. You know, I mean, it's got decent equipment and stuff like that, but it's not a resort. Like, when I went to your guys' gym, I thought it was at, like, a resort.
It's a resort.
Pretty
well,
much.
And we'll be able to. I finished up before my wife did, and we picked up our son from the Kids Academy because he was in the Kids Academy. He had just finished with dance class. Finished with dance class. And I picked him up, and then my wife came out of her class, and just since we were all kind of together and leaving, she just didn't realize, like, her purse was still in the locker room inside, so. No big deal. She's going back for her second workout of the day. But I had to drive all the way
it's
back
like
home and drop her off car keys. I know.
It's like she's in training
Spring
camp.
Training.
You know? Man.
She's hardcore
y'all,
like
y'all
that.
Like the 2%. You're like in the one. You're like that 1% with your car payment, gym, and your pools where they come bring you beers and food if you rent a cabana.
That is the best. I'm not
going
to lie.
It is pretty dope.
Being at the health club bringing the beers is nice. All right. Big news in the Morgan family over the last 7 days since the last
yes.
time we got together.
Yes.
I got a new dog.
You did.
I got a new dog. It's a mutt. It's just a straight-up mutt, but it's a cute little mutt.
Well, I mean, it's good because I think Eli's at that age where it's good for him. You know, they say it helps teach a kid responsibility and, you know, doing all that sort of thing. And he's got a little companion. I mean, what little kid doesn't want, like, a little – furry friend to kick it around
he
with.
Was missing our old dogs. For those that don't know, I used to have two Pomeranians, Rampage and Vanderlei. They were wonderful little dogs. Unfortunately, they are no longer with us. And it came time to get another dog. We started out looking for a Pomeranian. My wife actually went to – I got to find out where this is because she said it was on Sahara, so it's got to be by your house somewhere. She went into this pet store, and she said the minute that she went in there, she was like sketch alert on full blast. A couple of like Russians answer the door, and you walk in, and there's
on
no –
Sahara?
Yeah, there's no there's
I wonder if it's on the Paradise side, on the other side of the 15, or if it's way up.
I don't know. I'll have to find it. She said it was on Sahara. You walk in and there's no dogs. It's just like a room.
You want dog? We get you dog.
Exactly.
You tell us what we want. We go find.
And she said they said I want a white Pomeranian. And they were like, well, we have a Pomeranian. And they go to the back.
Nothing like a Pomeranian.
Well, it's not. It's a mutt. It's part Pomeranian. Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
No. So they went to the Russian store. They go to the back and they're like, "We'll bring you this. We'll bring you this dog." So they bring a dog out. It's not a white Pomeranian, but they're like, "We have a white Pomeranian." So they play with it. So this dog was produced from like behind, you know, the scenes. They play with it for a little while. And they're like, "If you like the dog, it's $5,000."
Holy shit!
Yeah. And my wife was like,
"He came straight from Russia.
Yeah.
You know the Russia. This was Putin's.
Maybe it was.
This was Vladimir's dog.
Maybe it was loaded with caviar or cocaine or something. I don't know, but it was a $5,000 dog. My wife was like, thank you, but no thank you. And they said, and it was funny, too, because obviously I don't have the access to the audio the way you
do.
Oh, they said it was a cute dog.
Yeah.
But not a $5,000 dog. But they said straight up, they're like, "Oh, you want white Pomeranian? Like, we've got those coming in tomorrow." Like, come on, dude. you ain't got no white Pomeranians coming in tomorrow. So anyway, we didn't go with the Russian import dogs. Instead, we went to the shelter. And found a mutt, basically. Yeah. That's part Pomeranian.
Well, that's good.
And,
that's good. I think when you do the rescue, the adopt thing, instead of, you know, I know a lot of people do the breeder thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they find these people that custom breed. And granted, the dogs are beautiful, wonderful. But I know there's a lot of those puppy mills out there that, you know, have some bad reps. And, you know, when there's a lot of dogs that need love out there. So, you know, I'm a big, big fan of people that go to pounds and things of that sort and sort of adopt and do the rescue thing. So I'm glad you guys did that. No offense, if you got that money, I mean, I seen your club that you go to. If you want to roll with the $5,000 Pomeranian, you know, I see you.
Check to check,
big
son.
Things.
Check
big things.
To check. Check to check. Yeah, and so, by the way, my son named the dog Boo, which is a familiar name in the Morgan household because he also sleeps with three stuffed dogs and a stuffed squirrel who are all named Boo as well. So
was that a character from a show that he liked?
I don't know. I don't know where he got that from.
He just got that song, you know, like, you know, all the songs out there that just talk about their boo.
So it's kind of funny. So now, like, the dogs.
So
I'm like,
a lot of
R&B. I'm like, "Hey, Boo.
Where's my boo at?
Where my boo?"
Is he listening to a lot of R&B songs?
He does. He's a big old school R&B guy. Old school R&B. All right. Enough about our silly little lives. Let's talk about some mixed martial arts, some MMA. That's why we're here. Listen, Conor McGregor is in the news. We're going to get to UFC 210, but I gotta bring this up because I had an interesting discussion this week with Brett Okamoto. He good friend of ours, finally invited me on his Five Rounds podcast, and we've had him here on the MMA Roadshow before, and we had an interesting discussion. Conor McGregor is in the news this week. His coach is in the news as well. Of course, you see John Kavanaugh is down in Australia. He's doing that two little interview segments. The A Night with John Kavanaugh. The boys from Submission Radio down in Australia are hosting that. And John's been doing some interviews while he's there. I'm sure it's a paid event.
I know he gets paid to do his.
I'm sure he's making some cash. He didn't fly down.
Appearances.
He didn't fly down to Australia for free. So you know he's doing some interviews while he's down there. While he was down there, he talked to Fox Sports Australia. Said, "Hey, listen, we're already training for Floyd Mayweather."
Rob Tasker.
Yeah, well, I didn't see the full interview, so I don't know if Rob Tasker was the one that handled it or not. I'm sure he had something to do with
had
it.
Had to do
it.
If it's Fox.
Business.
If it's at Fox Australia, it's got to be those boys.
It's got to be. He's talking about the fact that they're already training for this fight. I think in Vegas circles, it feels like the fight's an inevitability. But here's what I wanted to get to. We, of course, covered it. We covered that. We covered Conor came out with some quotes this week. We covered that. But Brett Okamoto asked me, he said, "Hey, listen, are you looking forward to this fight?" And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting question. Because no, I'm not actually looking forward to the fight. As I said all along, I don't think it's extremely competitive in mixed martial arts or boxing, but I am looking forward to the event. You know, the spectacle of it all. It's going to be pretty wild. It's going to be here in Las Vegas. You know, assuming you and I are going to be there, it's going to be something pretty special. The fight, not so much. The fight week, which I hadn't even really thought about, the fight week is going to be miserable.
For us to work.
Yes.
I mean, I think the spectacle of it could be really, really fun and crazy. Just to see. I love seeing the crowd just so amped up because it just spices
night,
it up to see
the
it,
night
you know?
Of is going to be crazy.
No, it's going to be nuts. You
but
know?
The week itself, I mean, you've worked boxing events.
Yeah.
And we were talking, you know, I mean, think about like a normal Conor event now, you know, 400 credentialed media, 500 credentialed media. Yeah. That's going to be insane. And it's going to be different than what we're used to. You and I got
depending
a routine down. We know how
it.
We
yeah.
do things. It's going to be a boxing promoter.
I was going to say, I mean, because the boxing promoting thing, depending on how that goes, those are always like a shit show. But if the UFC has something to say about it or takes some part of it and maybe uses their staff,
I
feel that it would be a lot better because boxing is just such a shit show. Especially, you know, I've been to boxing events that had multiple promoters on the same event, and it's just absolute chaos because there's no control of the media.
Right.
You know, the media just – it's kind of a free-for-all, and it's just absolutely insane. And every time I work one of those, I'm like – I just can't wait to get back to work. A UFC event where it's everybody acts sane and doesn't go crazy. But I don't know. As for the fight, I wouldn't say that I'm not looking forward to it. I mean, you ever been to, you know, like a circus show and, you know, you just want to watch the oddities. You want to watch the freakiest things out there just because it switches up the norm. So I'm looking forward to the fact that I'd be looking forward to it just because I think it'd just be something different that I know I'm probably not going to see again for quite some time.
Yeah.
Just because you have two – I mean, think about it. I mean, you have people that go out there and watch just celebrities fight in a boxing thing. So now you have people with – you have the crossover. You know, you got an MMA guy, a boxing guy. So it's unique. It's a freak. It's a sideshow, you know, but it's cool like that. You know, so, I mean, I'm excited for it.
Well, I told Brett, I mean, I'm not excited for the fight itself. I mean, listen, it would be insane. You know, think about when Randy Couture and James Toney fought. I was like, this is the stupidest fight ever.
Yeah.
But when they were walking to the cage, I was like, dude, what if James Toney lands a punch?
Yeah.
Like, what if he lands a punch? So, I mean,
There's always that chance. There's that excitement. It's the what if. What if this happens?
I'm definitely going to have that part of it. And it's going to be a spectacle. It's going to be something special, man. It's going to be amazing. I've always said, you know, the highest level boxing events are actually the main event is more of a buzz than the highest level UFC event. Now, not start to finish, but the high level. So I am excited for that. But the week itself, I think, is going to be a pain in the ass. I think the coverage of it is going to be, I mean, just getting spots to get quotes, to get video footage.
We're probably going to lose some years of our lives.
Yeah, we're going to hate
during that week.
But here's what I saw this week, and I remember it happening with Ronda. I kind of even remember it happening with Kimbo. I don't know if it ever happened with Brock, but I saw it this week. I don't want to say for the first time, but I saw more of it than ever. Our commenters jumping in at MMA Junkie and just expressing Conor fatigue, basically, just saying, "God damn it, MMA Junkie! Do you have to write another article about this fight? Do you have to write another Conor article?" And I wonder. Because here's the thing. I kind of get where they're coming from.
Sure.
Because even I'm like, I don't want to write this. This latest quote, do I really need to write a story about this latest quote where nothing's really changed? It's just the latest quote. But I'll tell you what, every time we write something, it's the top viewed story of the day.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's like we have to do it. Today, when I was at the gym, On Fox Sports, I guess. Is that where Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless are in the morning?
Guy.
Fox,
Mm-hmm.
Their last segment of their show was them talking about, you know, Dana's quote saying that, you know, I feel like I got to make this happen and it's going to happen. But I don't know. Where are you at, man? Are you at that Conor fatigue level? And I don't know. I'm kind of with this battle because I don't want to be the click whore website. But I get, you know, there's people expressing discontent that they don't like the fact that we're writing about it. But every time we put something up, it's the most clicked story of the day. So doesn't that show that we need to put it up?
I mean, I get it. I mean, I know I for a while there was tired of it just because it was just so much coming. But now, you know, I found myself that if I don't if I miss a comment, if I miss something that comes out, I'm like, oh, man, you know, I feel like I missed something. So I found myself subscribing to his Twitter, which for the longest time, I didn't even want to do that. I mean, good for him. Dude's got like almost 4 million followers.
Does he really?
On Twitter. Something like that. It's like 3.8.
That's
got to
be more than Dana
like
and more than USC, right?
I can look that up real quick.
4 million?
Yeah. Let's see. Dana White has... This is probably something ridiculous.
Dana White has 4.45.
I couldn't pull it up. Oh, that's because they got to log out of the junky one.
Wait, did he block us?
Oh, yeah. I told you that a while back. I think
Dana blocked the MMA
like,
junkie
feed? You're good, but like the junky one, yeah, it's blocked.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think I said something about it a while back. I was like, you got to ask. It's probably one of those times. It was probably some Steven Morocco article that pissed him off. And he's like, fuck you, junkie.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I couldn't pull up his thing. He's like, you are blocked from reading his tweet.
All right. Dana has 4.45. Connor has 3.8. And the USC has 5.46.
Say the UFC.
So Connor's still lagging those two.
Well, I mean, but, you know, and maybe in that sense, I'm a little surprised it's only 4 million. I mean, as much buzz of press as he gets. How many does Ronda have?
I can't believe we're blocked.
Yeah, it's been there for a while. I thought you were going to maybe talk to old
Doesn't he have to just not follow us? Like, we don't even tag people. Like, why does he have to block us?
Yeah, or mute it. You can mute the channel or
Ronda
something.
Ronda has 3.43 million
Okay,
followers.
So he's got more than Ronda now as well. But if we don't say something, I mean, I found myself that even if I'm not going to his page, I'm not checking it all the time, but I do like to find out when something gets said. Now, granted, if it's just another pick of him talking about his cars and he's standing outside or whatever.
Those get like, clicks, dude.
They get a lot of clicks. But
it's
like
crazy.
Those I don't need to see that. You know, so it's like if we wrote a post, oh, Connor posts a new pic of his car and his jet. Let's write a story about that. That's ridiculous. But the fact that the guy's going out and saying something, it's a sports celebrity.
Right.
So he's going out and he's saying something. So, I mean, it gives reason, you know, that – why not comment on it? Why not? I mean, granted, if he's not saying anything new, yes, do we need to maybe report on it? No, probably not. But if we don't, everybody else is already. So why wouldn't we want to have our coverage in there as well?
It's almost like MMA Junkie needs, like, a blog page within the website itself where it's not the front page. It's not the stuff we're giving the most love to, but it's stuff that we still have available for people that want to read it.
Yeah.
It's almost like we need to have something like that.
Something like that.
Something
but
like.
I mean, it is what it is. But no, am I over it? No, just for the fact that I don't click on everyone. I kind of put that in myself to not click on it. But obviously, the people that are seeing it, you know, they're obviously clicking on it. But then maybe they're on a bad day and they're like, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of all this. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'd rather read this video or watch this video of Pearl Gonzalez right now than watching Conor McGregor put something out and about his fancy jet and his cars, you know. But that's how my head works. I sort of regulate it myself. I don't expect Junkie to not put something out there. I just won't maybe click on it.
Wow. You're like a sane person.
That's kind of thinking like, you know. So are these same people click on every single thing that's out there? Or do we catch them on a bad day? If a sports celebrity, I mean, think about it, and it happens in every sport. If a major celebrity or sports figure says something, if you cover that particular sport and this happens to be a person, people are going to be writing about it. You know, it's just making a record on he makes a public statement. It's like a public record. So, you know, people want to comment on it. I mean, depending on what we write, if we just said, hey, Connor reached out and said this today and have no subtext,
and what would he
no
say?
Anything else.
But what would he say?
And just put the quote like
specifically, what would it be?
Or something like, you know, decided to go to the.
I'm not hearing Connor. What would it be?
I didn't get that audio. Here, I'm trying to think about, you know, like what would be a comment. Like, say if he just said, you know,
I'm still not related.
I mean, you know, well, now you put me on the spot. I'm trying to do two things, and I can't do that. I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. But the thing is that I'm not doing an impression. You know, just if
hello,
he, if
governor.
He, hello, governor. Bisping. Who the fuck is that? Just, you know, if he said something random along the lines of, you know, met with my, you know, shoot, this training partner of mine, he's really cool. we don't need to write a story about
right,
that.
Right.
You know, but if he
but
goes
if it's
out there.
But something about Mayweather.
But if it's something
it's
like
something
that,
about
how
defending
would
a
you
title.
Not expect
I agree.
An outlet to write something about it?
I agree.
I mean, I don't think everybody's writing something, doing some every time he puts something out on social media. But if it's something relevant to a topic that people are interested in, and people are interested, if it's making it on ESPN, if it's making it on the SportsCenter, it's making it on every major outlet. The, you got the regular people talking. When my brother asks me about a Mayweather and a Conor, that tells me that everybody's paying attention. So it's our job to put that stuff out there.
Right.
Now, we don't, like I said, we don't need to report that Conor found a new burger at Burger King that he thinks awesome. Like, we don't need to write about that shit.
What
I don't
did
think
he like
we
about
that.
The burger?
It was he just liked the name, the Whopper.
Oh, I'm still not relating.
I'm not going to do it. I'm clearly not buzzed. This is the fitter being. This is the – I walked
round,
for 30 minutes.
Another round of award-winning Pabst Blue Ribbons.
Totally just take everything of fitness and working out and throw to
it. All right, well, what do you think about his boy, Dylan Danis? Because I'm going to tell you right now. Dylan Danis, that story was our top click story of the day.
Really?
Can you believe that?
And it did different clicks too. I didn't see – this is me being like that the sideshow guy,
And I'm assuming anybody that's listening knows what story I'm talking about, but just in case, there was a story, video from last week. Dylan Danis was in Chicago, and we got video of him afterwards, and basically he said, if they don't put me on the Bellator NYC pay-per-view, the card is going to tank because I'm the star.
He's the biggest prospect out there.
Right.
You know, with his 0-0 record.
What do you think? I mean, listen.
I mean, he certainly –
he got
he's
clicks.
Walking, he's,
he got
yeah.
clicks. He's learning I mean, from his boy.
He is, but he certainly got – I mean, he's getting hate right from the get-go as well. I think the fact that, you know, without a professional MMA record, I don't know what he did, amateur, if he even did. I know he does
– I believe he's just like, coming straight from jiu-jitsu.
That's
what
I thought. I mean, supposedly the guy is great at jiu-jitsu. He's Conor's training partner, does well or whatever. I don't come from that submission world, so I have no clue who the fuck this cat is. And then to come in and have the bravado that he has, you know, it took something for me to just kind of like, all right, let's give him a chance. I'm not going to hate on the fact that he's coming out with his fancy big glasses and saying how he's the biggest, best thing out there. You know, part of me wants to be like, oh, I hope this guy gets smashed. But no, I mean, like if he's doing the right things, he's probably good. He's probably talented. But, man, he's really put a target on his back. Coming out there and saying what he was doing, I was really surprised at as much hate that he was getting immediately from people. Just like, you know.
F this guy, hope he gets smashed.
F this guy, hope he gets smashed.
But is it a smart play?
He got fucking great views, so good on him. I mean, like, now all he needs to do is show up and do.
Then you still got to deliver, and that's what Conor has done.
Right.
Conor has delivered.
Conor's delivered, and if this guy can do the same thing, there's no reason to think that he can't follow the same path. You know, I mean, he's following a guy that chose sort of a brash route to go, but a tough route, because if you don't live up to the name, people won't give you that chance to kind of come back and say, oh, well, you used to talk shit, then you got smashed fight after fight. Who cares that now you're like, oh, I'm the best thing? We don't believe it. We don't buy it. But if you're going to talk the talk – and then come out and walk it, boom, I'm set. I believe you.
I like it. I will say I like it. I like the attitude. I like the swagger. Yeah. I like the bravado. I mean, you know, what I think, if you're looking at mainstream sports, and I think the problem is that people go, well, it's like professional wrestling. It's not a real sport. No, listen, this is a real sport. We know that for a fact. And the other thing, too, is don't act like it's not the same in every major sport. I mean, what do you call it? Bulletin board material, right? I mean, if one athlete from one team says about something about the other team, you know what I mean? That becomes the headline. If a pitcher's like, I can't wait till that dude comes up the bat because I'm going to throw right at his effing head. You know what I mean? Like, are you telling me –
if they could say that stuff –
oh, are you telling me everybody wouldn't run with it? Yeah, exactly.
I think the thing about –
I can't wait to hit him in the head.
Like that, I wish they could. I wish – I mean, I know there's a lot more regulation with some of the other leagues.
Sure, they get fined.
They control and stuff what they say. And maybe that's why some people say, oh, that's why you'll never be a sport on the same level because you got a bunch of heathens that can just say whatever they want. I love the fact, and I think it would be a hell of a lot more interesting to watch even like a golf match. If you know the guy's going into it and he's like, you know, if I have another a shitty round, I'm either going to take this club and shove it up the ass of one of my opponents or I'm going to snap the motherfucker right then. Say something like that, I'd be like, holy shit, I'm going to watch that fight.
I agree.
You know, maybe that's just me.
How many 0-0 guys in MMA are you like kind of excited to see their debut? Even if it's just because you hope they get smashed.
Right.
How many 0-0 guys are you like, oh, dude, I can't wait to watch this?
And Ronda, and that's what Ronda, you know, and credit to Ronda. Ronda was one of the ones that I remember always saying, too, I don't care if you want to see me lose. At least you're watching the fight.
If
what I'm doing and what I'm saying makes you want to watch and watch me fight, you're still watching.
Damn straight.
Boom, there you go.
That's why I don't get the hate for it, man. I understand. If you're like, dude, I hope this guy gets smashed. Like, I get that. That's cool. But have some respect for what he's putting out there. You know what I mean? The fact that he's willing to put himself out there like that, he's willing to help sell the tickets. He's willing to help draw the eyeballs. I like it. All right. Well, let's talk briefly about UFC 210. We are not covering it. Matt Erickson and Justin Park are up there in Buffalo, New York. I'm a little disappointed. I've never been to Buffalo.
I just want some Buffalo wings.
I have been to Buffalo, but I'm
trying to think I've been to – if I had buffalo wings. I think I've been to Buffalo.
I have a slight fondness for buffalo wings, especially Buffalo Wild Wings.
No.
So I kind of would have liked it gone. But we're not there. But I did see this. And speaking of talking and speaking of saying things, did you see right before we sat down to start talking about this, Daniel Cormier said, if John Jones steps in the cage after I win on Saturday night, bad things are going to happen.
Hogwash.
I love the sentiment.
Full of shit.
But, well,
complete hogwash. Like, what's he going to do? All he's going to be like is like, John, get out of here. You think he's going to go and lay hands on him? No.
What would he say?
John, get the fuck out. John. I mean, but let's be real. Daniel would not. I mean, Daniel would never actually lay hands or do something that would jeopardize. I mean, it would be great for whatever the right, but. There, like we said, there's so much heat there that you know it's gonna come out. When that fight happens, it's gonna be great views, great clicks. But if John did come in there, and now I hope he does, just because I want to be right and say that Daniel won't do a damn thing. I'm sure he'll talk a good talk or whatever. But you will not see anything physical happen if that comes in. They're too good about controlling it and saving it for when it matters.
Well, that's true. That's true. I think the UFC will be in trouble.
They learned their lesson.
What if John Jones does come in, Daniel Cormier is there, and Gegard Mousasi happens to be standing in the cage. What would Gegard say?
John, I should have my shot first.
Get the 205 title, he wants to fight out. What would Francis Ngannou say?
Oh, I should have my shot.
All right, I've entertained myself.
When did Czech Congo come over?
They're both French guys. It's all good. All right. No, well, listen. All right, so here's my question. We just got through saying, and hell, I just got through saying that I don't
you
think we –
You pull up the BW3 – like the menu. I keep wanting to keep BW3s, but Buffalo Wild Wings, whatever. Back home it was BW3.
Small, order traditional wings, all flat, half spicy garlic, half hot with a side of blue cheese.
That's your shit right there. All flats. I had never heard anybody say all flats before.
I like the all flats.
Which is the – what is that? The wing part? What is that?
The part that's further down the wing, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's a second joint.
Something, but it is tasty. But
all right, here's the thing. So I just finished saying that I don't think we have to worry about being compared to WWE. I don't think we need to worry about it because it's entertainment and it's fun. But I'm asking you this. Do you think the UFC, and I think you kind of touched on a little bit there, do you think the UFC should bring John Jones in there? Now you said they'll be in control of it. They'll have the situation under control. Our man Joe Williams will probably
– he could literally just be in the arena. He could be.
Would they bring
him
in the cage? Would they bring him in the cage? Should they bring him in the cage?
Probably don't need to. I mean, if anything, I mean, one, as a title defense, like, I hate it when they steal a person's moment just to make something ridiculous of it. You know, especially as a title defense or a title win, as some guys like to say, you know, that every time that they defend it, it's a title win. I think DJ says that, and I know Jones said that. I would almost hope that John would be like, no, that's stupid, but I'll stand up. Let me sit outside the cage, put me in Dana's area, and I'll stand up. You know, and then all that has to happen is whoever is calling the shot, if it's Stan or whoever, just Rogan, look over and say, hey, do you see that guy over there? You know Daniel's going to say what he needs to say right there, and you never even have to have.
And John Jones
probably
like flip him off or something.
Boom. That's all you need. I think if they did bring him in, that'd be fine as well. Because, one, it's not going to get physical.
Right.
It's never going to be like a Jason Mayhem where fight breaks out and that crazy shit. But you never know. They've been doing some wacky shit. That's
why I wonder, because typically that's not their move. But now I kind of wonder in the WME areas, they're kind of experimenting a little bit. They're kind of doing new stuff. But
some of the stuff, though, when you see someone come in, sometimes it's like a surprise. Like, I think they want to have that element of spice. Like, I didn't think that Nunes was going to come in when Valentina won.
Right.
I was a little surprised. So I was like, oh, that's cool. It's like everybody expects this one. So it's going to lose that cool factor because they're like, oh, we're just going to wait for that to happen. And then if it does, it's going to sort of cheapen it and does make it like, see, I was right. They're so over the top.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whereas at least if he's in the building, there's that anticipation. Same like when Cyborg was there. At one of the events, she never went in after the event, but she kind of just like stood up or they flashed a camera to her.
Yeah.
And it got the point across.
I think
that's all you need to do. Like, he could just be in the building.
Don't
and get
take
point
away
across.
From that person's moment in the cage.
I hope not.
That's their cage.
It's a title.
That's their
yeah.
octagon. They
it's,
won.
It's his moment. I mean, like, they worked so hard to, and it's been a while for Daniel to actually have a title defense, even though he has fought Anderson in between. Don't ruin that. You know, let us have that moment of where people can look back just on that post-fight interview. Because one, us, that we as curators of this footage and, you know, you never know what can be said. You know, and I think a lot of times if you don't cheapen it and you let that play out, people can go back at that and then make their own thoughts about what was said here and kind of put things together instead of, oh, okay, you gave him one question to talk about his fight of Anthony Johnson, if Daniel wins, and then you went to this promotion of this next event,
yeah.
and you kind of just stepped right over Anthony, should that happen.
Right.
You know, whereas if you let him talk about this event, you get him to talk about Anthony, you get him to talk about what it was like going into the fight, and you get a nice bookend for this fight. If you're immediately bringing in somebody else in, you kind of just say, okay, well, I'm glad that's over. Hey, by the way, look at this guy over here.
I agree.
You know, and as somebody that wants that nice piece of history, you know, just to kind of complete it and walk away from it, have that nice finish on it. And maybe that's just me thinking of, like, a video standpoint, what I'd like to
see. A storyline.
Yeah, I want that story to finish.
Yeah.
You know, I want the whole story arc to make it from start, finish. We watch the build-up. Now let's finish it. Don't immediately jump over to the new book without properly closing on them, because then
makes
you
sense.
Just kind of cheapen the story.
It makes sense.
You know?
It makes sense. You know, it's funny because, you know, John Jones technically still suspended right now. They are promoting him, obviously. You know, they're going to have him there. He's doing a media
Ooh,
scrum
well,
on Friday
about that,
night.
Because when Cyborg still didn't have clearance, I think, when she was there. Mm-hmm. So maybe if they do the same sort of thing, she didn't have clearance, they just did a camera shot. If he's not cleared, maybe they'll just do a camera shot and not bring him in.
Maybe so.
Because how do you bring somebody in that's still under suspension?
It would be kind of weird because you'd have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You'd have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you don't bring him in, you don't have to talk
about
it.
What's the decision of bringing somebody in that's still under suspension?
You're allowed to.
There's no legal
implication, but then you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. All right, well, listen, as you said, that is all assuming that Daniel Cormier wins.
True.
I got to be honest with you. I'm picking Anthony Johnson.
Really?
I picked Anthony Johnson the first time around.
So did I.
I'm sticking with it this time around. It would not shock me if Daniel Cormier wins. Of course, the way it played out the first time could very easily play out the second time. But I do feel like the things that concern me are, number one, Daniel Cormier always talks about how Cain Velasquez pushes him. How much has Cain been in the gym? We know Luke Rockhold hasn't been in the gym.
Yeah.
Cain's been dealing with his issues, so I don't know that he's been able to. And the other thing is, Anthony Johnson, and it's hard to explain it, but when you spend time around these athletes, you just start to get their vibe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he's in this place right now, man.
He's in a good spot.
You know what I mean?
He's in a good spot.
I feel like he's in a great spot.
Even though that whole Black Zillion stuff happened, I think you're right. I think it wasn't like he went away from Henry and the guys that made it what it is. If anything else, he probably cleaned up a lot of the crap because there was so much going on there. Mm-hmm. There was so many athletes, so much other stuff. I think if anything else, he's probably had a great camp because it's been more focused, a lot less people involved, you know, just bringing in the right people.
Right. On the surface, it could seem like it was awful, but yeah. It sounds like maybe it's not that bad. So, listen, I had a chance to get Anthony Johnson on the phone, even though I didn't make the trip up to Buffalo, and had a chance to talk to him about some of these things. And so I need to refill my frosty beverage here. Unfortunately, our favorite server isn't here that just brings them over to us. Okay.
Well, we actually had a couple. Tammy and Lisa both do good, but we won't mention names of another one. She did come grab the table.
She grabbed the empty one so she could wash them. She didn't bring her full.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I guess I went up and got the other one. So,
all right. Well, anyway,
whatever.
We have to go refill
third
because they're not being brought to us.
First world problems.
Wow.
Third world. They're happy to get
it's
a beer.
It's gonna be a fun afternoon. I can see. All right. Well, listen, while we take care of business on this end, listen to my conversation with Anthony Johnson and see if you get what I get, which is not based solely on this phone conversation, of course, but just the feeling. The place that he's in, I don't know. Seems like he's in a good spot, and I think I'm replicating my pick. Would not be surprised to see Daniel Cormier win. He's a beast. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say Anthony Johnson in the rematch, just like he did the first time around. Here's Rumble. Anthony, how you doing, sir?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I appreciate taking the time.
It's all good, bro.
We'll talk about it, man. I mean, impressive run that you've had to get back to this title shot, man. I feel like you're fighting as good as you've ever been fighting in your career, man. What is it that's clicking right now? What's the secret to your success right now?
Determination, man. I'm just focused on, and I'm just determined to win, you know. I missed the title the first time, so now, you know, I'm more determined than ever to get, you know, I'm happy, I'm healthy. I am focused, stress-free. Everything is going so well for me right now, man. So I'm in such a good place, and this is the best camp I've had, honestly, ever. I have never felt like I feel right now about anything. So I'm just excited and ready to fight.
That's awesome. Yeah, you're stress-free, man. That's the thing I was going to bring up. It seems like every time I talk to you or I'm around you, you're just relaxed, man. You just seem like happy, at peace. It's I don't know, man. It's really interesting. I just wonder where that comes from. I mean, is that just you growing up a little bit, or is that just, you know, like a conscious decision you've made? I mean, where does that just that peace come from?
It's called not having a girlfriend. That's what it's called. But you know, no. I mean, overall, man, everybody's just been so supportive, and the energy has been great. So, like I said, right now, man, I'm just in a good place. Everybody's positive. We've been working together. Nobody's been like, you know, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. Everybody's really been putting their head together and just, you know, making everything work like it should.
No doubt. You know, it's funny you talk about this being the best camp ever. I mean, we know about all the reorganization that's going on down there and, you know, kind of how everything's getting set up. Did it affect you at all? It does seem like a tough time to be going through all that. I just wonder, how did it impact you, you know, kind of the way the camps are reorganizing? I mean, are you driving further than you used to? Are you, you know, do you not have training partners you might have used to have? How has it impacted you? Has there maybe even been any good things about it for you?
Well, for me, you know, it hasn't really did anything. I mean, I drive a little bit more, but at the same time, I still got my coaches. And I'm still cool with everybody. I didn't play into the politics and whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? I stayed true to who I am. I train with whoever I want to train with, and I get along with everybody. So, you know, it didn't affect me at all. I hate the fact that, you know, my squad got separated the way that it did, because we started this thing from the ground up, and then we had a great run. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So it sucks that it happened the way that it did, but we're good, man. You know, I'm still cool with my coaches, all of my coaches, and it's going to stay that way.
That's awesome. Let's go back to the first fight, man. You know, you had that huge knockdown right to start. I mean, right off the bat. I know it was a real quick thing, but do you remember what was going through your mind? I mean, did you have flashes in your head of, like, this fight's over, I've got this?
You know, for me, I don't ever think a fight is over with until the ref stepped in and said it's over with, you know? But it was fun, man. It was, I dropped him and I was like, oh, I got him. But it was far from thinking that the fight was over. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So hopefully, you know, if I hit him again that way, we'll see if he can survive. He survived the first one. I usually don't let people survive the second time.
It's I wonder, because, you know, obviously you've heard all the questions about cardio. I heard you had to address it yesterday, you know. But I wonder, because it kind of reminded me a lot of, like, when Carwin and Lesnar, if you remember that fight. You know, Carwin had him. And then I just feel like there had to be such an adrenaline dump there, you know what I mean, to be so close.
Well, that's exactly what I did. I pulled the car in, that was for sure.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask. I mean, was it – I mean, when people talk about your cardio, I wonder if it's almost unfair, just because I got to imagine that was a huge, you know, cardio dump there, man, just adrenaline dump to be thinking that the fight's almost over.
Well, yeah, it was – yeah, you're right. I was on him, and it wasn't like when he grabbed me, I was like, damn, he got me, you know, but it wasn't like it was draining the energy out of me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I didn't get tired until really the second round. I felt that's when I felt really tired. You know, somebody's holding on to you and grabbing on you and shit like that, bro. it'll do all kinds of things to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You know, he deserves to be a grinder. You know what I'm saying? That's just who he is. But that shouldn't have affected me the way that it did. But it's a big difference when you're preparing for one person and then all of a sudden, you know, you're preparing for somebody else.
Yeah.
And at the last second, you know, it changes up everything. Your body isn't used to certain things. You know what I mean? That's the whole point of training. But, Daniel did all of this talking yesterday and started saying, you know, oh, he still had a full camp. He started saying the same thing Connor said about Chad Mendez. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you still had a full camp or whatever and all this other stuff. And yeah, I had a full camp, but I wasn't ready for you. You know what I'm saying? But this time I will be.
Nice.
So be ready. Be ready, because mentally and physically, you ain't fighting the same person. And I know I'm not fighting the same person. So guess what? I trained 10 times as hard as you think I did.
That's awesome. I did want to ask you about that. So you really do feel like it'll play a big difference. I know guys say, oh, you know, the opponent change doesn't matter. I'm ready to fight, whatever. But at the end of the day, it did matter a little bit.
Well, it definitely matters. You know, and you get lucky sometimes. I can't even say lucky. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. It was Daniel's night. I take nothing away from him. So kudos to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't badmouth the man, because he won and he didn't say anything bad or negative to me. So, I mean, it is what it is. He's the champion. I respect that.
No doubt. The last thing I want to ask you about that first fight, Anthony, you know, at the very end, a lot was made about Henry, you know, yelling out, don't give up, don't give up. What did that mean to you? I mean, I think a lot of people were saying that, you know, they were saying don't give up in the fight, but I mean, it could also mean don't give up position, don't give up battling the hands. What did it mean to you? I mean, could you hear him saying that? And what did it mean to you?
He was just saying, don't give up, don't give up. Like, keep fighting. Of course, anybody in that situation or that position is always going to tell the fighter, don't give up. You know what I'm saying? You want to keep fighting. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, you're in a position where you have no choice but to give up. Hell, you either give up or you get choked out and passed out. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So it doesn't mean that you're weak mentally or physically. It's just, you know, just keep trying. Do your best. Don't give up. That's just words of encouragement. That's not saying, oh, don't give up even because you're weak. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. So, like I said, man, with Daniel saying that, Daniel is his own cheerleader. He's his biggest cheerleader, and that's fine. You know what I mean? So, I mean, Daniel can believe what he wants to believe and say what he wants to say. He is his biggest cheerleader and his worst promoter.
I like it. Well, I mean, this is going to be such a big fight. I wonder, what's it going to mean to you to get that belt, man? I mean, your journey to get here is just been such a wild one. And I know along the way you said, listen, I don't have anything to prove to anybody. You know, I'm just doing this for me. So what's this title win going to mean for you when they wrap that belt around your waist?
Everything. It means all of the hard work and all of the trials and tribulations I've had in my career. It was all worth it because of this. So it'll mean the world to me.
Trust me, I saw. I was like, yes! I don't have to keep getting up and getting beers anymore.
For those, because I'm going to leave this in. Fuck it. We're already rolling. The server that he likes is here. The server that he likes is here. Boomers just got hopping.
All right, welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. I guess we just got an informal entry there already. But welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Anthony Rumble Johnson. Situation has changed here, Boomers. Things are about to be looking up.
Game done changed.
Frosty beverages will be delivered.
And I know you're going to get on. You were probably going to ask me, and I'm just going to jump forward anyways. And I'm probably for the detriment of Daniel, because before I was just like you. I was for Anthony. And I was like, man, I was so like, well, I wasn't upset, but I was like, oh, damn, Daniel done proved me wrong. Mm-hmm. This time I've kind of went with the thinking that I don't want to bet against Daniel. Well, not bet, but I don't want to go against Daniel. So I'm going to pick Daniel and watch the universe say, fuck you, you're wrong, and watch Anthony knock him the fuck out. So hopefully I'm not jinxing Daniel, but, you know, I know he's got a lot of questions and a lot of people are wondering. And I think you pointed out, too, you know, is the camp really there? Is his head really there? You know, he's had all this crazy shit. It's been
close
a while
since
he's
retirement. You know what I mean?
How many years does he have left? You know, this is going to be a tough one, but I think, and hopefully he's not so caught up in the fact of, you know, he sees John Jones somewhere down the line. Let me focus on that and not focus or do what he needed to do to take care of Anthony. But that all being said, I'm just going to say that Daniel has a way of pulling shit out when you don't think he is. Mm-hmm. So this time around, and hopefully it's not to Daniel's detriment, I'm going to go DC on this one.
Hey, man, it's not a bad pick, man. Dude's an absolute beast. And, man, we talked about it last week, but this could be such a huge year for him in terms of how his entire career is reflected upon, depending on what he accomplishes. Speaking of last week, since we haven't been on the road and we didn't have a USC event, we didn't have any and a half business to get down to. So
thank goodness.
It's been a full week. I know.
Got to sleep and just chill.
You hate it. I know everybody likes to hear the post-fight content. Cole Covey hates it.
But if we're not there, we're not going to do a 0.5 show. Like, we're not going to get together and be like, oh, hey, those guys were in Bellator or whatever last week. Let's have a 0.5 show. Like, no, that's not going to happen, folks.
All right, well, I did want to talk to you about a couple things. Cage Warriors. I know we were all kind of dialed into Cage Warriors. Patty Pimblett had a
– you sold me on it.
He had a rough night, man. He had a rough night. He didn't look good. But I will say this, man. I thought it was fun being kind of dialed into a guy. You know, we had an opportunity to kind of play around with some video footage and to do some cool stuff with the site. And I thought it was kind of fun to not say have a vested interest, so to speak, but at least have something
to follow.
Well,
that's kind of what it was. I mean, you, by doing that and kind of just making myself, and this is probably good for my growth in covering MMA as well, but to force myself to get out of the UFC bubble, you know, the UFC, the Bellator bubble, look at what else is going on. There's a lot of guys out there doing all the work and the effort and all the credit to them. They deserve eyeballs on it. So this, in a sense, was an exercise of forcing me to look at other properties out there doing their thing. So I was completely vested in and watching him do his walkout. I was like, oh, yeah, do this, Patty. I was like, look at that crowd. And then immediately after the first round, I was like, whoa, your boy's down around and he does not look good. We kind of had our own little dialogue through WhatsApp, like, and I'm like, I think he's like 3-1 down. I'm like, your boy needs a finish. Was not the showing that we thought it would be.
Oh, man. Take nothing away from Nad Nirmani, man. He looked fantastic. But
he looked great.
It did make it fun to watch. And I'll tell you what, we're going to do more of that. I know that everybody loves the big ticket items. Conor McGregor, Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, John Jones. And, of course, we're still going to be covering that. But, honestly, I love getting to know these up-and-comers, telling stories like that, giving people a reason to watch stuff, you know, giving you something to watch about. So we're going to be doing more of that. And I'll just tease it right now. We'll see it next week. But we're going to do something very similar with Victory FC that is going to be next Friday night. We will have some similar type content and some cool things on that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I know it's shocking to you. You don't even know about it.
Oh,
but
really?
So, no, I mean, keep an eye. And this is kind of, you know, we had teased some fun stuff we were working on behind the scenes, and this is kind of some of that fun stuff. I still can't fully lay it out there, but this is some of that fun stuff is that, you know, we're working with some of these smaller promotions to to get some of their footage and for them to open up their vaults to us and let us do stuff.
You never know who's going to come up from these things. You know, just, you know, taking the fine gentleman that we've been talking about, Conor McGregor, that loss that everybody keeps talking about, the old Joseph Duffy, that was a Cage Warriors.
Cage Warriors fight.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. So, I mean, the fact of us paying more attention and giving that out to the MAUs, you never know who's going to come. If Patty had won, he could be the guy that everybody now is like, oh, he needs to come over to the UFC. He's got to come here. So if we don't look out there, and these people they're doing good events. They're putting it on. Will it have the production value of one of the top two or three productions out there? Hell no. But it's still, the effort and the determination and the work that these fighters themselves are putting in is at the same level of what the guys that have made it to the top. We're just diving deeper into the MMA bubble and finding those gems, or hoping to find those gems, you know. So I'm looking forward to finding more people.
I got two guys on my radar for next week. I'm going to keep them under wraps for now, I got two guys on my radar.
I like it.
We'll probably feature a little bit of the audio on the MMA Roadshow. Might as well. I'm going to be speaking with them this week, but we've also got some video stuff planned, and it'll be on MMA Junkie. So
when you talk
I'm
to
excited
them,
about that.
You're going to tell them, hey, by the way, we spotlighted somebody and they didn't come through.
Oh.
Are y'all going to come through?
Like, wow.
Put some little extra pressure on. Like, I know you guys are very, very excited for your fight upcoming, but, you know, just letting you know.
Dude, if we pick two guys, well, I've already picked the two guys. If I pick these two guys and they lose, should I just, like, end it? Like, just be like, I'm done.
They'll be like, sorry, I'm literally jinxing these fighters.
I'm 0-3 right now, and they're done.
Or we'll take your picking off. We're like, all right, you can't pick the guys that we're doing.
Go coffee. Pick some guys.
Pick the random dude.
This guy's 3-7. I think there's bright future
ahead. That's the one. That's the one. Well, you know, you never know. Me and Agent H, last time we put a parlay together, she knows absolutely nothing. I'll be like, who are you going to pick between this person and this person? The last time we did it, I think it was a 6-person parlay. Granted, I put $2 on it.
Right.
She fucking got it right. So
a 6-team parlay?
It was like a 6-person parlay. God. I want to say it was 6. And I was just like, you're fucking kidding me. Granted, that was one out of we've done this like 20 or 30 times.
So 6
it never
good.
Works. 6 is incredible. You know, anytime you're getting over, shoot. You know, you think about it. 3 or 4 can be very, very tough.
Yeah. Really hard.
I mean, that's the thing about this sport. You think you know it. You know, go out and put your money where your mouth is and watch how many times you're wrong. So the fact that, you know, when I call out to her, I'm just like, oh, this guy versus this guy. And she'll just say a name, you know. So, hey, maybe I'll have a good luck of just saying, all right, this random person that's fought in, you know, whatever organization that is, that guy, that's the one. So who knows? So, yeah, if you go 0-3, I'm picking the next one. At least one of them.
At least. That's fair. Dude, I think I'm still in last place in the staff picks. That's so embarrassing. All right. The other thing that happened was Bellator. Molawal beat Rampage. This fight
was good. King Mo.
It was not good. And I love King Mo. And I love Rampage, for that matter. Here's the thing that's interesting, Cold Coffee. It looks like Rampage, with this whole legal contract situation that he's got going on, is destined to go to the UFC. He weighed 253 pounds. And I kind of wonder if maybe he weighed 253 pounds, like, almost just to show the UFC, like, don't bring me back over. Just cut my contract. Just don't.
But if anything, they're probably like, people still watch that fight.
I know.
He still has
value.
That's
the thing that's interesting,
he
right?
He still has value.
Like, dude, if you brought him over and put him in a heavyweight fight, because I don't think he wants to do light heavyweight anymore.
Bring him back. Throw him against Derek Lewis.
Oh my God, that would do huge.
But I mean,
numbers.
That's the thing. Rampage. I mean,
numbers.
Rampage is he's a legend in the sport. He might not be. I don't know. You think he ever make like a Hall of Fame? Do you think they're pissed off enough that they will never put him in the Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, when you consider that Pride is technically part of the UFC,
yeah,
then they should, because you know the things he accomplished there. He became a huge superstar.
Yeah,
you got to put. I guess you know what? He'd be one of those interesting ones where you're like. I mean, if you look at, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame, and I don't know the Hall of Fame roster of any sport well enough to know, but, like, not everybody is, like, the top guy that ever played the position, right? I mean, there's guys that, you know.
I thought you were going to say, is he like the Pete Rose? The one that you're like, he's on the outside.
Well,
and they're
no,
like,
but
maybe
Pete Rose actually is still the hits leader, right? I mean, he is.
I'm not sure. I mean, he's the one that's, like, people are like, why?
Yeah, but that was because
why?
Of the gambling the garbage. Gambling yeah, that was garbage. No, I'm just saying, like. There's probably guys whose credentials are like, I don't know, is he really, you know, did he ever win? He didn't win any championships. You know what I mean? He never won a World Series. He never – but, yeah, but he was good. You know, I don't know that his – like, you're not going to be like, hey, man, let's argue. Who's the greatest? Is it John Jones or Rampage Jackson? Who's the best 205er? Come on, man. You know it's John Jones all day long. So it's not like that. But as you said, he's a superstar, man.
Superstar.
He gets people – like, people want to watch
him fight. People still want to watch him right
so
now.
So we're in the WME IMG era. Yeah. Do they bring him back? Because he looked – he honestly looked like he did not give two shits
right.
in that fight.
But the heavyweight division is like one of those things. I think when you see like the Francis Ngannous and things of that sort, the division, the makeup is starting to change, but there's still a lack of superstars. I think what he does bring is he brings click value. He brings awareness.
Yep.
He can immediately come in and put him, you know, against the very best guy. You could put him against a hack at the bottom of the division if you want to try to bring in. People still want to watch just to see what version of Rampage they're going to get. The thing about the whole thing with King Mo and this Bellator, I wondered what the weight was when they first had that press conference and then how much he maybe dropped between the fight. Because I think there was a drop. So I think he did work. He worked out. He trained a little bit. But I don't think he really gave two shits about it because he did not come in anywhere close. And the fact that Bellator was just like
– like, if he was, like, 240, you'd be like, oh, okay. So he was close to 235.
Yeah, I'd be like, he did work.
Right.
You know, like, it seemed like he – the difference that we saw from that first press conference to what we saw in the event was that he finally went to the gym and started doing some work. And I'm not trying to just say, like, oh, he wasn't doing work.
Right.
I think he actively was like, all right, I'm going to get on a regime of going to the gym. You saw a slight difference, kind of like if I just go walk every day for like the next 2 months, I'm going to see a slight difference in myself. But did I do really what's needed to really make a big transformation?
Do you think there's any chance at all? I mean, is there any chance at all that he did that on purpose? Because, again, there's this whole contractual thing right now where it looks like legally his next fight might have to be in the UFC. Unless they just go, dude, don't even worry about it. We don't need you. Is there any chance at all? And I'm not – I haven't talked to anybody who told me this was the case, but with a couple of frosty beverages in me right now, and you know me, man. I'm not a conspiracy theory guy or anything like that. Is there any chance that maybe he kind of like sandbagged so that the UFC might be like, dude, we don't want you. Go do what you want to do in Bellator?
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's – the thing is, and if he doesn't realize it, he already built himself up to, in a sense, what we consider is a legend.
Absolutely.
That's never going to go away. I mean, if you can see people like Royce Gracie coming out of the woodworks and fighting, there's always going to be some sort of a value for these people. I think if anything else, I think it's just his heart's not in it anymore. Mm-hmm. Not to where it used to be. I think if he could do movies and have some real estate business off to the side where he can make money, he would probably just walk away from the sport and do it. I think he does it for the fact that he needs the money. But I don't think his heart – he knows he's not going to be a champion anymore. He's not going to win a belt. But I just don't think he has the heart to try to push himself like what he used to, say, like 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. So – I don't think he would go out there, one, and try to just say – because, one, I don't think he's smart enough to scheme like that.
Right.
You know, and be like, ha-ha, if I really put on a poor showing, they're going to let me out of my contract. Because you can't get away from the fact that dude's already earned legend status. There's going to be somebody out there that wanted to watch this fight. I mean, look at this. This was like a freak show in a sense where you got a guy that's fighting him 40 pounds less. That's ridiculous. One, it doesn't seem safe. But the fact that, you know, it kind of played out where he just sort of tired out. I mean, he was able to get a couple shots and did, you know, his little quick flurry at one point. But I just don't think he's that, you know, ingenious to like, or, you know, to come
right.
and say,
that's,
oh, that, this is what I want to do.
That's some next level scheming right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's just – his heart didn't – he just didn't want to do the effort that he needed to do. But if he did come back, I'd watch him fight. I'm a big fan of him. And anything I say, I'm not trying to, you know.
No, I agree. I think he's
still
marketable.
Disparage on him by any amount.
I love the
dude. I think he's a great fighter. He's just not what he used to be. I think if anything else, this is the Rampage that we're going to see.
Yeah.
Maybe if anything else, going back to the UFC, he maybe will motivate himself more to do better if there's a chance that he's fighting higher level guys. Maybe he realized and he just thinks like, oh, this is what I give now is good enough for Bellator. It is what it is, so I'm going to go out and do what it is. This is the organization that put, you know, Dada 5000 and Kimbo in there. I don't think he's pushing himself because he's like, whatever. I think deep down, and no offense to Bellator, he realizes it's more of a joke. It's a second tier. But by maybe going back to the UFC, should that happen, maybe he would push himself a little bit harder. But yeah, I don't think there was any sort of bigger plan where he was like, oh, I'm going to do something where they can just let go of me, you know, because he needs to fight.
I agree. All right, we'll see. We'll see.
Tough.
I think he'll. I don't know. I'm interested to see because if he wants to fight, like you said, people still care about watching him fight. So
for sure.
I'm interested to see. You know, Kolkavi, I forgot to tell you, by the way, we now have the ability to take live phone calls, and I know I didn't share this with you. It's tough.
No, of course you did not.
It's tough, but it's kind of a new technology I've been working on for the road show.
That's weird. I'm actually getting a call right now here.
On the phone.
So I can go to the restroom while you're taking this call.
On the phone is Yair Rodriguez. Yair, before you say anything, you're our first caller, and I'm not sure if the line is going to work or not, but just as a big favor to me, if you had one word to describe Quentin Rampage Jackson, how would you describe him?
Legend.
Okay, thanks, Yair. Have a great day. Thank you for being our first caller. All right, new technology.
That is incredible.
On the MMA Roadshow.
I feel like you could probably call. There was another athlete recently that was this. That I think he probably had the same thing to say. I forget who it was.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Chris Weidman, Gegard Mousasi at UFC 210. I gotta say, I don't want to say I'm more excited about this than I am the main event, but I think I'm at least as excited.
I'm excited. I wouldn't say I'm more excited.
Yeah, but I think I'm right there.
I'm excited about it, but I'm still more DC.
Yeah?
Rampage. Yeah, I think so. Just because I think maybe it's one of those, I don't know what Mousasi's going to show up. I know what I have a feeling what Weidman's going to try to show up. I think he's going to give his go, but, man, his last performance. I mean, well, you can never count on what that – I mean, you can't count on a flying knee. I mean, shit just happens. But it's the Mousasi. If the Mousasi of lately shows up, I think it's going to be an exciting fight. But if we get the old Mousasi, who's just like, you know, this isn't the fight I thought it would be to get me where I need to be. Maybe I already thought I'd already be in line for a title, so I'm just over it. But it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. I'm a little torn as for who I think would. Part of me wants to go Weidman, just for the fact that, you know, former champ. I think he's on a great team. He wants to do things. But you got to start to wonder too. You know, like what damage that last fight did to him. You know, how much did they kind of hold off on really maybe going harder in practice because, you know, once guy gets sort of viciously, thank you very much, my mouth's not working right now, knocked out like that one, you know, I hope there might be a tendency to go a little bit lighter in this camp going forward. Maybe they want to be a little smart. Not that guys need to go out there and knock the brains out. I think as the sports evolve, guys realize they don't need to do that. Save it for the cage. I think he has all the skills there that he can overpower because I don't think I mean, Mousasi, he does a good way of sort of defending the takedown and whatnot, but Weidman's at a different level. I think he's just more involved like that. So if Weidman comes back 100% and he's completely over that last fight physically, I think he's got more tools to take care of Mousasi. I don't think Musasi's got that crazy strength knockout that's going to come out of nowhere that's going to take him down. I think if anything else, Weidman's going to grind on him, mm-hmm. and I think – I hope not. This could be a very boring fight if he just sort of lays on him and sort of controls it for three rounds or however many rounds.
Yep.
I guess it's not a belt anymore. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, son.
I dig this fight, man. I think part of it is the fact that all the things that you're saying, like the X factors in both these guys.
Yeah.
You know, Gegard is like – continually reached the top of the mountain, and then he falls
then
just short.
Slid back yeah. some reason.
And,
yeah.
And but I feel like he's more focused than ever. I feel like he's more
that
like
he does
intent
seem.
Than
You're
ever.
Right. You're right.
He's intent. And then you got Chris Weidman, who, you know, was undefeated, the guy that beat Anderson Silva. And he's lost two fights in a row. But it's two fights in a row have been fights that he was competitive in.
Yeah.
You know, that he was, you know, arguably winning in both fights. So, and then on top of that, then you just add in the intrigue of the 185-pound division right now. George St. Pierre coming back to fight Michael Bisping. That's crazy. Jacare and Robert Whittaker.
Oh, is he going to stay?
That fight's next week. Hell no, that's one and done. Count on that. No, he don't want nobody at 185.
He does not.
He wants Michael Bisping, and that's it. So, yeah, I mean, you got that, and, of course, you got Yoel Romero. You know, sitting God, around.
GSP definitely doesn't want any
he
of that.
He don't want no piece of
Nobody
that.
Wants a piece of that.
Nobody. So, yeah, man, I think it's an interesting time. I'm intrigued by this fight. Gegard has become one of the most fun people to talk to in the sport. He's got
he
that humble trash talk.
He has changed. I remember it was like pulling teeth getting him to really talk, and I don't know if it was like maybe a year or two. We've seen this gradual opening where he's sort of just embraced it, you know, and yeah, he's just a hell of a lot more fun to listen in interviews nowadays. I mean,
I agree.
I think even when I was with the UFC, it was just like, oh, fuck, we got to interview this guy. And no offense to him, it was just some guys just didn't want to say the things that, of course, we all wanted them to say and be that
no,
click
material,
in with
his,
you know?
With his shoulders kind of slumped
just
over.
Just slumped down like he didn't want to be there.
And,
but now, you know, he certainly buys into it. And I don't know if maybe it was having that sort of title run and then dropping back down and just sort of made him kind of address the whole. Maybe he's more appreciative of the whole thing, or maybe he's more focused. But yeah, it's a different him. I mean, like watching his interviews now are so much more fun because now he's not afraid to like call guys out.
Yeah,
which you know, not that we expect every guy to go out there and gotta talk shit.
But it makes it more
you know,
fun.
But oh, there's so much more fun to listen to him. You know, before it was more like. Oh yeah, here's a Musasi interview, but now it's like now I want to watch because I'm
it
like, all right, what
fun.
Is he gonna say? You know?
I hate like manufacturing it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's still fun. Just say what you mean.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like just the stuff that you would say if you knew there were no cameras around.
Yeah.
And you had a frosty beverage in hand, and you were like, I think his takedown defense sucks, or I think his striking sucks. Don't make stuff up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just say what you honestly feel about the
we
guy.
We used to kind of like you'd have to feed something back. He'd say like a little thing, like maybe along those lines. We'd say, well, say that for me. Can you say, I will, you know, smash, 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 or blah, blah, blah. We used to feed those lines. Now he says it on his own. And when I say we, as a UFC, like we do interviews,
you
know, same thing was like, you know, one thing is like repeat the question back, you know, in your answer. But another times when you get a lot of fighters, granted,
like read this cue card.
Yeah, right? It's one thing, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you want to be talking in conversation and they just want to say their thing. It's like, wait, no. Say your opponent's name and say how you're gonna do what you just said. You kind of feed it back to them, and a lot of times it doesn't read right. It sounds a little false, even though it was their words. You just kind of coach him, like, say it back. But now he's doing all those things on his own, you know. So I don't know if it's a matter of just gotten better at doing the interviews and just gotten more at ease, or now he's just like, now he's maybe just having a hell of a lot more fun with it. And so that stuff's coming out naturally. So it is interesting. So if it's, like you said, this focused Musasi comes out. Yes, maybe this could be great because, you know, you got a former champ trying to come back up to the top. You got a guy that's literally right there waiting for the next shot, you know, waiting for that to get done. And then to have those two clash, you know, you're not going to see. I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched a lot of this stuff. I don't think they're talking shit about each other. What would they have to say?
No.
They're both good guys. You know, they don't go out there and, you know, womanize or talk shit about each other. So it's not the most compelling to watch the pre-fights because they're just like, oh, I know my opponent's tough and I know I respect my opponent and I'm hoping for the win.
It's well, with all the talk that you've had about what a great interview Gegard Mousasi is, that's just a fantastic segue because I didn't talk to him. I talked to Chris Weidman. But no, listen, I wanted to talk to Chris
John,
Weidman because
– why didn't you not call me?
Oh, that phone line's still open over here. Jesus Christ.
Turn that damn technology off.
Sorry about that, guys. I didn't know he chimed in there. Producer really needs to straighten this thing out.
I talked to Chris Weidman.
To me, it was an interesting point because here's a guy that I've seen a lot of talk. His back's against the wall. It's do or die. You know, this is, And it seems that way in a lot of ways, but at the same time, you know, here's a guy that is fighting top-level competition, is fighting again top-level competition here, has been, again, as we said, competitive in those fights, arguably winning both of those fights. So where's Chris Weidman's head at? How do you make adjustments? You know, when you know something's gone wrong, when you know you can point to something, that's easy to make adjustments. Yep. When split seconds in fights have cost you fights, how do you make adjustments there? So wanted to talk to Chris Weidman, just kind of get his point of view, and here's what he had to say. Just give me an idea, Chris. What's this run been like for you, man? Because, you know, obviously everybody talks about the two losses, but you've been fighting really well. I mean, you're fighting the best guys in the world. You're you know, in these fights. You're winning these fights and then just not getting the result you want. So, I mean, what's it been like for you mentally just kind of dealing with it and processing the whole situation?
Sorry, I'm eating at the same time. So,
that's all right, man.
You know, it's been, a road. It's been a good one, and has obviously had two setbacks in a row. But I think that's part of athletics, and really the telling tale of how a champion's able to deal with adversity. And losing and setbacks is part of life, and the only way to deal with it is to be positive and learn from it, and get back on your feet, and just keep grinding away and keep enjoying the process. So. I realized I made technical mistakes in both those fights that I felt like was the reasons I lost. And with other things, obviously, inside the fights where, you know, I feel like I could have done things differently. But in the grand scheme of things, I could probably bring it down to one technique on both of them where if I would have went a different way, things would have been different. But that's the beauty of the sport. So I appreciate the game, and I understand how it works. So. I didn't let it really get me down too much. I just used it as kind of encouragement and motivation to keep grinding and keep getting better.
You're so right about that. That it's like one technique in both of the fights. So I wonder. I mean, is there things? I mean, can you fix that? I mean, is that like? I mean, I don't know that you necessarily. I mean, do you feel like I did the wrong technique, or I just executed? I made a bad decision. I mean. It just doesn't seem like there's much to fix there. Is it more of just the thought process of what you're doing? I mean, how do you go back and correct that? Or is it just a split-second decision and you just, you know, things just happen in a fight?
Yeah, you know, I think things happen in a fight. And it's one bad decision, really, in both of them, where I felt at the time it was the right thing to do for whatever reason, and I was wrong. And I think it's part of the game. And to correct it, I just got to come back. And keep working, and the more I work inside the gym, the less mistakes I make, and that's really what I've been focused on as far as taking away from those fights. I use it as a way to kind of strengthen my mentality. You know, through setbacks is a platform for your comebacks, and it's an opportunity to. The bigger setback you have with anything is always. The ability to have a huge comeback. And I think for athletes, even in my wrestling career, coming back from tough times is some of the most memorable times I've had. And I have an opportunity right now to come back from some tough times. And so I see it as a great opportunity and challenge.
No doubt, man. That's definitely a professional attitude. I wonder, I mean, did you have that attitude right away? I mean, are you that kind of guy that you can look at it that way so analytically, you know, from the beginning, or is it a process? I mean, do you get kind of a little bit down afterwards and have to get to that point?
I mean, after my last fight, I went straight into, you know, the press conference. I understood what happened. I shot my head to the wrong side. And I knew I don't do that. You know, you're not supposed to shoot your head. You know, when I fought Southpaw like six times in a row, you never shoot your head to the left, to the power side ever. When I drill, you know, through a whole camp, and when I'm working and sparring, that's something I focus on doing. And for that fight, I felt like he was gassing in the third. He wouldn't come up to his stool for a little bit, and I felt like he was getting tired. And I just wanted to create a pace, you know, up and down pace, even if I'm not getting the takedown, just – you know, striking to wrestling is really a weight you could wear on somebody. And with that, I made a wrong decision. I went down for a takedown at the wrong time with my head on the wrong side, and he came up with a knee and finished it. So I understood right away what I did wrong and why what happened. So It's just, obviously, you know, it's never fun when you lose right away, but you have to come to terms with it. There's no, you can't throw your hand, your head in the sand and feel bad for yourself. That's just not, that's not going to help you in any way. There's just nothing. When you are able to think logically, you realize that that type of thought process is not going to help you in your life in any given circumstance. So as sometimes if your brain wants to go that way, you just got to fight and say, no, that's not a way to deal with adversity.
Very true, man. Very true. All right. Well, let's talk about Gegard. I mean, for a guy to be fighting a guy like that on, you know, and you're trying to get back in the win column, I mean, I think it sure shows that the UFC believes in you and believes what you're capable of. But I mean, is there ever a part of you that's like, you know, let me slide down the list a little bit, maybe, you know, get a win under my belt, you know, kind of one of those gimme fights, or did you welcome, you know, facing basically another number one contender?
No, definitely. I mean, I think it's kind of what I've been used to since I've been fighting. I mean, Mark Munoz was the number one contender. That was the number one contender fight. And then since then, that was 2011 or 12. So that's 5 years I've been fighting, you know, guys on these crazy win streaks and guys who are considered number one contenders. I wouldn't want it any other way, man. Like I'm a competitor, and I want to be dealt the biggest challenges possible every single time and figure out a way to beat them. And like I said, this is just everyone has a story, and right now this is my story. I'm gonna make this comeback. I'm gonna come out looking really good in this fight against a really good guy, a guy who's on a nice win streak, and that's what I want. I don't want to beat a gimme guy. That doesn't do anything for me. I want to beat a guy who everybody thinks could possibly beat me. So that's what excites me.
Very nice. Are you thinking about, I mean, I know the ultimate goal, of course, is to get your title back, but are you thinking about where this puts you or where it leaves you if you pick up a win? Because the division seems kind of confusing right now, obviously, with the GSP coming in and all that. So, I mean, do you let yourself kind of think at all what this means, or with things the way they are, do you kind of have to not even let yourself deal with it?
Yeah, no, not at all. I haven't let that bother me one bit, because I obviously had a big, that's in front of me. Musashi is all I'm thinking about. That's the only thing I can think about. The rest, it will take care of itself. I win this fight the way I know I'm going to win this fight. It's gonna put me in a good spot. And it doesn't matter if that's one, two, three more fights until I get a title fight. I know what I'm capable of. I know my potential. I know I will be the champion in the middleweight division. There's no stopping that.
No doubt. Well, I know this will be a big one for you. What do you think? Are fans in the media, are we going to be able to, you know, perceive anything different? I mean, do you think it's a something that we're going to be able to see? Because as you said, minor adjustments are all that really need to be made. I mean, so is there going to be kind of major overhaul or major difference? Or are we just going to see, you know, kind of vintage Chris Weidman and hope just things fall your way this time?
You're going to see a dominating fight. I'm going to dominate him. So whether it's people perceive me as a vintage Chris Weidman, or the guy that happened to make a mistake in the last few fights, or a guy who really has improved over the years, even though I've happened to lose the last few fights, and I wasn't able to show it quite yet. So the perception of me is in the eye of everybody. It's up to them.
No doubt. I guess you know, we won't necessarily know what comes next for you, but can we make a safe assumption that you'll be making a push for that Long Island card that we just found out about today?
Hell yeah. Musashi first. Musashi is my focus, but we'll talk about that afterwards.
So Chris Weidman facing Gegard Mousasi at UFC 210. I like this fight, man. I really do. I'm pumped up about it. It's an interesting pay-per-view. A lot of people are kind of down on the pay-per-view a little bit. I don't know. I think this is going to be entertaining. Yes. Favorite server back in the house, bringing frosty beverages. I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting pay-per-view all the way around. I mean, or interesting fight card, I guess, top to bottom. I guess me personally, Cole Coffey, I don't necessarily judge fight cards on like main card alone, but then again, I'm not paying $60 for it out of my pocket. You know, I'm charging USA Today for it. So, but even then, I look at it as like a top-to-bottom thing. You know what I mean? I look at the Fight Pass prelims, the FS1 prelims, and the pay-per-view kind of all as one unit. And when I look at it like that, I'm actually kind of stoked for this card. Let's just kind of burn through the main card real quick. Cynthia Calvillo versus Pearl Gonzalez. I was shocked. I was shocked that this one showed up on the main card, to be honest with you.
So was I.
But I will say this.
That was very Bellator-ish.
They've been getting clicks for us this week. And
they've been getting clicks. I mean,
I guess that's because they're not necessarily unattractive ladies. Pearl Gonzalez seems to be the belle of the ball.
It's fucking hot. Like, I had no idea who this was, but watching the face-offs, Cynthia kind of earned my respect that last fight.
She
came for a great
camp.
She
looked great against ABC.
So good. And then seeing Pearl, and then, I mean, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm a fucking pervert at times, and maybe I just like when the fighters are attractive. She was fucking smoking on that outfit or whatever she had going on. She put it together. Like, so I immediately became a fan of hers.
So now you're okay with this fight.
I'm completely okay with it. But the fact that it is on somebody's making their – you know, UFC debut, you know, against somebody that just made their debut and it's third from the top is a little tough, but
Brooke Mayo's flipping you off right now.
I know, right?
Speaking of attractive fighters, Thiago Alves versus Patrick Cote.
That's the thing. I mean, you're gonna put those guys before and Will Brooks and Charles Oliveira before that one. Like, why can't you just start the main card with the ladies? Mm. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not opposed to it because it is two good-looking girls. Well, one is a body of the boom.
Wow.
I'm going to get myself in trouble here. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But that being
I'm
said,
I'm going to make sure and send this segment of the show to Fernanda for review. She can make
recommendations.
I was
a little surprised that
to our HR department. That
they didn't start the main card. If you're going to put them on the main card, I get it.
Let him kick it off.
I mean,
I agree. You know what? You're right about that.
That was a slight to Brooks
you're right about
and Oliveira
that.
And Cote
you're
and
right
Alves.
About that.
That's ridiculous. There's no reason. I mean, if you want to put him on the main card,
maybe
that's fine.
The part that stood out to me more. It's the fact that it's the third fight.
It's ridiculous. I don't
but
agree
wait,
with that at all.
I mean, that's the CM Punk slot, right? That was the third fight,
well,
too,
that's
right?
That's fucking CM Punk. He was a fucking circus sideshow.
Yeah.
Unless that's their thing, they're like, oh, two hot chicks. Who cares the fact that they're skipping over four vets, four guys that real? I mean, not that these women don't do what they're doing, but let's be real.
No, but you're talking about
if they weren't hot,
20
good looking girls,
fight veterans.
Yes, I mean, so I don't know. I get it. You want to put them on the main event, but they should have kicked it off.
You're right.
They don't deserve the third
slot. You
know what?
You're right. You're absolutely right. They probably should have kicked off the main card. All right. Thiago Alves versus Patrick Cote. By the way,
that's going to be awesome.
Abby Saban always points out that I have a bad habit of saying Thiago Alves just because that's the way his name used to be said before the UFC cared about, you know, proper pronunciations and stuff. Yeah.
So that means you didn't care about proper pronunciation.
It's been ingrained in my head. It's been ingrained in my head forever. I mean, how long have you been watching Thiago fight?
Well, simply like. Well, I would say Nunes.
I've got the autographed UFC 100 poster on my wall in my living room.
Yeah.
It's Thiago Alves. You know what I mean? Not Thiago
Alves.
So
is it Nunes or Nunes?
I think it's Nunes, right?
See?
She likes Nunes.
But then some people like Nunes or say Nunes. I'm like, who fucking knows? You know, but whatever. But that fight, I am so stoked. That fight, you know, and this maybe I'm weird or whatever. I'm more kind of excited or intrigued about how that fight's going to turn out than the Weidman-Musasi one.
Really?
Yeah. That fight, just because I like Cote, he's kind of –
These are guys
– like Alves.
We've been watching these guys fight for a decade,
for a long
bro.
Time.
For a decade.
Yeah. I kind of want to see where they're at more so than the Musasi Weidman, even though I know the Musasi Weidman has more
– More implications.
Implications.
Yeah.
Thank you for your big word.
Yeah.
Has more implications for the division, but personally, that's the fight that I'm really, really excited. That's the number two – for me,
I don't hate on you
main
for that.
Card.
I don't hate on you for that because, I'm kind of interested in it too. It's this guy that we've been watching fight forever.
Yeah.
Will Brooks, Charles Oliveira.
That's another one.
I love Charles Oliveira, and he's a dangerous dude.
Yeah.
But I think he might be outclassed by Will Brooks.
You know, I feel he's another one where I've said that before where I'm just like, oh, man, he's not going to pull it out. He's not going to pull out. This other guy's too quick, too fast. And Oliveira pulls it out. I think this is another one where I think most people are going to think that – I think everybody, if there was – I don't know what the odds are. I think more people are looking towards Brooks. But I think Brooks with his speed, Oliveira just has a way of somehow getting the guys back and getting that submission.
Submitted Miles Jury. Submitted Nick Lentz.
Yeah.
Submitted Hatsu Hioki.
You know, but then it's like, why did he lose against Pettis? You know, why did he lose against Ricardo Lamas?
Yeah.
I can see why he lost against Max Holloway, because Max Holloway is a fucking beast. But you're right. My head is telling me that Brooks should completely win this fight, but I don't want to jinx him either, but I'm thinking Oliveira is going to probably pull it out again, just because every time I doubt him, he pulls it out again.
Yep.
So I think he's probably going to somehow work the back. I think Brooks is probably going to overextend himself and get submitted.
It's very possible, man. Will Brooks, you know, likes to rely on that wrestling and grappling game, dude. And Charles Oliveira.
He's like, put me on the ground.
Please.
Put me on the ground. Please.
Give me a chance.
Most guys, if they do it right, don't let Charles get to the ground. But if that's your strength, you want to try to get on the ground and hope that your wrestling is going to do it. His legs and arms are, like, freakishly long for some reason. And let me look at their size. Brooks is not a big dude. Well, they got the same exact height.
No
only
way.
A 2-inch.
Oh, no. Are you looking on USC.com?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why. Around. They have never remeasured Charles Oliveira. He's listed at 5'9", right?
Yeah. He's 70 inches, which
5'10".
Is
5'10". Dude, he's 6'1", at least. Yeah. I'm 5'10". He's 6'1", or 6'2".
I agree.
He came into the UFC.
I don't think that reach is probably right.
He
then
came
either.
Into the UFC when he was, like, 19, mm-hmm. and they measured him then, and he had a growth spurt. It's so funny. As soon as you said his height – I was like, I know what you're looking at. Dude, wait till you watch them face off. They're not even close to the same height.
You're right. And
in fact, I don't think – is Will Brooks listed 5'10"?
It's got him at 70 inches.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Dude, Will's shorter than that.
I can see 5'10".
Will's shorter. I'm 5'10". He's shorter than me.
Are you 5'10"?
Yeah, he's shorter than me. And Charles Oliveira towers over me at this point.
Yeah.
Long, lanky dude. Watch. Let's just watch the face-off pick. All right, preliminary card. Dude, I love some of these fights on here. So here's the thing. Is the main card worth it? I don't know. I think so. I don't think this is a bad pay-per-view. I know it doesn't have the stars. Mike De La Torre versus Miles Jury, to me, that's a great fight, man. I mean, Mike De La Torre, I just love this kid. He's such a scrapper, man. This dude comes in to bang every time. I think he has a ton of spirit. And then Miles Jury, of course, was on an incredible run. He's had a couple of losses as of late. He's got to try to get back on the right track, but he's definitely talented. I love that. Sean Strickland versus Kamaru Usman. I love that fight. Strickland,
that's your boy right there.
Strickland's an underrated guy with an incredible record, but Usman's
your boy.
Had a chance to spend some time with him. It's fun when you get to spend time, you know, calling a couple Titan events like we did, you know, getting to hang out a little
that's
bit and really
one.
Get to know a guy, man.
Two guys with only one loss.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
Strickland 18-1, man.
Incredible, dude.
18-1.
Charles Rosa coming back from a couple years away. Boston Strong. He used to be the Boston Strangler. The UFC didn't like that, so they made him Boston Strong. But I love that kid. Blachowicz versus Patrick Cummins. I think, you know, that's two guys that, probably aren't going to be champions at 205 pounds. But you know what? I like both of them, and I like the way they
UFC's
fight.
UFC's got them both at number 12. How is that possible?
Because their rankings, they allow for ties. They allow
that's
for
whack.
Ties. Yes, so that means there should be no number 13. The next guy would be number 14.
That's just whack.
I know. Then you go to
but
Fight
Cummins,
Pass.
Cummins has come up, man. Like,
I know.
When he first came on, it was almost like that Circus Sideshow shit. But he really took that opportunity to heart. So I'm happy for him. He's really he surprised me. So that could be a good one.
Now check
I hope.
Check out the Fight Pass prelims. Gregor Gillespie, who's a stud prospect, versus Andrew Holbrook, who's a stud as well. You know, not your flashiest guy on the planet, but stud. Both those guys are studs. Josh Emmett, we know about his durability, versus Desmond Green, a guy that's been grinding on the outside of the UFC for a long time. That's a good fight between two talented dudes. Irene Aldana versus Caitlin Chookagian. That one's going to be a lot of fun. And then the flyweight fight to kick it off, Magomed Bibilatov versus Janelle Lawson. That's a fucking great fight as well, man. I'm telling you. I think this fight card has a lot of fun fights on it, man.
It does. It does. I don't. Is it the best card of the year?
No.
Is
this the one that I call my mom up and be like, Mom, you need to watch this one?
No, but it's got some really good fights. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How many is there?
13 fights.
9 of those are probably ones where I think you could put anywhere and people would be happy to see them. Mm-hmm. Are there a few on here that you're like, But if you got 9 out of 12 as being really, really good fights, that's worth it to me.
I agree.
In my opinion, that's worth it. You know, you're never going to have, besides like a 200 or a 100 or some sort of milestone where they want to put 12 or 13 rock'em sock'em fights. Let's be real, folks. They got to spread them out. Fighters need breaks. They have a huge roster they have to go through. We're not going to have top to bottom greatness on most cards. But to have, you know, pretty much 9 and maybe even more. I'm just throwing out 9. I'm looking at maybe it's 10. Maybe there's 10 fights in here where, like, that's going to be an awesome fight. To me, that's worth putting your hand in your pocket, pulling out the wallet, or going to whatever website you go to rip the shit. This is a fight card worth it.
Dude.
I'm not promoting ripping. I'm just saying y'all going to fucking do it anyways.
Dude,
you know?
I'm reading right now. Kelvin Gastelum pulled from fight with Anderson Silva after testing positive for marijuana. You're only tested for marijuana in competition.
Yeah.
It was his fight night sample tested positive for marijuana. What the fuck?
Was it post-fight sample?
No. The night of his – yeah, I don't know. Good question. I don't know. Was clicked on the
there
night,
should be
on
some,
the night of his
there
fight.
Should be, there should be some leeway if that's true. If they test A, like a
no,
if there's like an A or B, they do a, more than likely did a
yeah, but they
got to
test you
sample,
like they got to test you like at the venue, like it's not
yeah,
like
but they usually do a pre-fight before sometimes.
Yeah,
or do they just only do post-fight. They usually do some pre-fight ones.
Yeah. Which well, you're in competition after
yeah.
weigh-in. After weigh-in,
that's true. But there should be maybe if that's the case where your pre-fight you didn't. And if you post, you tested them after the fight. I don't know if they would.
The fuck.
Because they probably just want to get it one and done. It makes doesn't.
Oh,
I
yeah,
guess it doesn't make sense.
Oh, dude, that fight was over. Oh
night.
No, hell no! And that fight was over at like 4 a.m. We got back to the hotel at like 5 a.m. They weren't testing them at 5
but
in the morning.
But it's fucking weed.
I know. They gotta stop testing for this shit.
I mean, that's ridiculous. Yes, it can be a numbing factor, but I bet most fighters. And I know we've said this before. If you had the option of going in and fighting somebody who's high as fuck, most fighters are going to say, fuck yes.
I'll take it all day.
All day long. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. The fact that they're still just like want
it's
to penalize
crazy.
Someone for that is absolutely
He was scheduled to be in Brazil next week for the on-sale press conference.
God damn it.
And they were going to have him down there.
So they're going to scrap that fight, you think?
God, I mean, yeah, they got to find somebody else for Anderson now. Jesus Christ. All right, listen. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter last night. I tweeted out real quick. I got this press release. Tyson Pedro got a sponsorship from All Tech Lansing.
I fucking pulled that up on my phone and like played it, and the girls in the other room. She's like, "What are you listening to?" I was like, "It's fucking Morgan. He put this song out. It's like the catchiest, ridiculous song." You know, there's a age restriction. On YouTube, you have to, like, be whatever logged in and to say you're over 18 to watch the video.
Is that right?
Because it prompted me beforehand. And I was like, it's just that music video. And it's not like they're real boobs or anything. It's like it starts off with a dinosaur, a T-Rex wearing a fucking bikini. It's the most bizarre video
well,
ever.
Well, he got an audio electronics sponsor. And I don't
Good
know if
for
it
him.
Had anything to do with the fact that he has awesome walkout music.
Well, it's probably because whoever from Audio Electronics listens to the road show.
All Tech Lansing is the name.
All
of the
Tech Lansing. Oh, that's a legit. That's a legit company.
Yeah, I don't know them.
They they do I was gonna say something stupid. They do electronics.
No shit. Meant for
yeah,
audio.
Yeah, they do audio stuff. But no, that's legit. I mean, is it a Bose? No. Is it a Sony? No. Is it Beats? By the way, that's a huge one, even though I don't know how good their technology
man.
Really is.
You should run their marketing department.
Of course.
when we were in London.
But we were talking about it. I'm sure they're listening to the show, and they're like, we need to get this guy a contract.
When we were in England, I'm sure you don't get to go to Europe that much since Abby's over there. But they have a Lion Bar, which
I should, though,
a Lion Bar
he's dropping the bar.
He's terrible. He's going
he's
on
dropping
vacation,
the bar, Abby.
Not doing
going on vacation.
So
speaks funny.
They have a Lion Bar, which is like a little candy over there, which is awesome, like kind of like a Snickers or something in the morning, man. It's a good candy. And he brought me another one. This past when we were in London, it was called a Boost. Yeah, it was
now
called,
I see
it was
why
called,
you keep them around.
It was called a Boost Bar. Yeah, it was called a Boost. Uh-huh. And it was like late night one night, and I you know, he's like, I'm sorry, I don't have a lion, but I got this for you, and I ate it, and the first thing that came to mind, and it was their marketing slogan. I'm like, it ain't no lion, but it ain't no bitch.
Is that really?
Like, no, that came to my mind.
Oh, I was like, holy was like, fuck, that would be awesome. I was like, oh my god, that's really their line.
Yeah, no, that was,
I would buy it
see?
For that line,
right? That came to me right there.
I would wear their T-shirts.
I was eating this, and I'm like, well, it ain't no lion, but it ain't
no
bitch.
Bitch.
All right, so I had to say that.
That's
one,
ridiculous.
One other one. Colby Covington got added to the Singapore card. He's facing Dong Young Kim. He is a I don't know if he's one of your favorites. He's one of my favorites. I love Colby Covington.
You're fine with
I like him just because I've been at so many of his fights, and I think his first two fights were in Macau in Brazil, so there was literally like no American media there whatsoever. So I made sure and talked to him. So we kind of had a good relationship since. But I love the fact that this dude just talks so much shit. Did you see the email that he made up or about RDA's – computer being left open at an Apple store?
No.
Dude, I have to find out how he did this. I don't know how he did it. If anybody knows how he did it, please tell me how he did it. Look, so he created like an entire like Gmail screen, and everything here is like some like fight related thing, and he said that RDA left his email open. You know, this is a tweet from March 15th, my birthday. Looks like the little diva, Ardos Anjos MMA, lets his email open in an Apple store. And then he took a picture of all his stuff. And, you know, there's stuff about him using drugs. There's stuff about, like, I mean, there's just all kinds of weird stuff on here.
Dos Anjos UFC 1. Sounds like some made-up shit.
I mean, so did he go to the trouble? I mean, how do you create this? There's an entire Gmail screen.
It would be tough because he would have to create an email
account. Is there a program that does this?
I mean, each one of these senders are just going to be a sender, so ultimately you could probably have different accounts, you know, to just put the sender as.
And then you could label the sender the way you
want.
But
that would be a lot of accounts.
That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work. So if hopefully, well, I'm sure somebody will ask
him. Call your boy Ariel. Say, hey, did you ever send a fighter survey email to –
Well, we know he didn't. These are all made-up stuff.
Mr. Raphael?
These are all made up.
Yeah, he's not going to say Mr. Raphael. He'd be like, Hoffy baby. That's how Ariel.
I just have to know how he did this.
It's a lot of work. Or it could just be fucking text. It's just text.
Says an email from Sean Shelby. Sign the contract. Mm-hmm. Man up. My phone won't stop buzzing about this fight. It's getting old like you. LOL. JK. JK. Habib Nurmagomedov sent an email. 170. Really? Fat ass. Oh. Stitch Duran. Colby Covington fight. Is it true? If so, you might want me in your corner for this one. I mean, dude, there's some high quality trash talk on here.
That's good. I mean, that's some work, but the shit looked legit.
So hopefully, I'm sure somebody will ask him about it between now and then. But if not, in Singapore, we're getting a detailed breakdown of how he did
this. You brought up Singapore, and I feel like, man, if they made it this far in the podcast, can we just give hints? Rumors about where the UFC's maybe going to go in Asia. I feel like we should just, like, give some hints of, like, stuff we've heard about.
Oh, do you know stuff that I don't?
I don't know.
Heard.
I mean, like.
Is there any chance they go to Tokyo this year?
I heard maybe Tokyo.
What?
I heard Tokyo.
That's crazy.
But then I heard, like, China.
China, get out of here.
I hear these things.
What?
I hear these things.
Where would they go in China?
That's what I want to know.
What?
I hear it's not for sure, but I hear they're talking about it.
Like, really, China or, like, Macau?
Well, why wouldn't they say Macau then?
Well, Macau's part of China.
But it's like a protectorate. It's like saying you're in Puerto Rico.
So would they go to a real place like Shanghai?
Beijing?
That would be crazy.
Wouldn't it be crazy?
Is it cold in China in December?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know these answers. But
why would we ask random questions like that?
But good. I feel like we got some stuff out. Think about that, people. Think about that.
All right, last thing I got to say. Saturday night, if you're not doing anything other than watching UFC 210, make sure you tape Vasyl Lomachenko on HBO. I'm not gonna give you much on boxing, but this dude is fun as hell to watch. If you've never watched him fight, seriously, it will make you respect boxing so much. His skill level is unbelievable. It's on HBO. Tape it if you have HBO over the top, whatever. You can get it on demand. It's not pay-per-view. So if you already have HBO, you're not paying extra. Dude, seriously, watch Vasyl Lomachenko. Dude, he is effing sick. Dude, it's one of the most amazing shit I've ever seen. And like
That's
I said, I
shit.
Don't throw out a lot of boxing, but like this dude is so fun to watch. Like, I think you need to watch it. So.
I don't throw out a lot of wrestling. But you know what I thought was funny last week when our great friend overseas, Chabot Karsandu, was interviewing the WrestleMania?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? John Morrison, wrestler, was busting his balls about asking the Conor questions over and over.
That was
Kudos,
funny.
Sir. I will watch your fight. Or
if you
spectacle.
Know his name.
If you are John Morrison.
I'm not sure. Is it John Morrison?
I don't think. Maybe. Maybe not. I think it is John Morrison.
Jim Morrison?
Maybe it's Jim Morrison. It's totally not Jim Morrison. I want to say it's John Morrison.
But, Morrison?
I love the fact that we were able to use Sandu in videos, but I love the fact that this wrestler was calling him out on all of his interviews. Like, does he owe you money? Are you trying to get him in bed? Or I don't think he said that. But
I think he said, do you want a back rub from him?
You want a back rub. But that was subtle for saying, do you want him to?
A back rub in bed.
Just the tip. Just the tip.
Wow, we've reached that point of the afternoon. Not even the evening, just the afternoon.
How can you tell? Because they got the door shut. It's all like it's like dark
God
in the boomers.
God bless. That's how we do.
God
we,
bless.
We don't
boomers.
Need to know about sunlight.
No, that's the Vegas way.
Frosty
it's
beverages.
The Vegas way.
That's what's up. All right. Well, listen. Another week in the books. If you listen this long,
I fucking love you. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks for listening.
11:57.
All right, good. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the MMA Roach.
That's like a nice cackle.
I know. That's what I was waiting for. All right, you want to start? All right, so we're still going?
Yeah.
I know. I was waiting for that. I was like, whoa, that's kind of loud. Still 11:57?
Yep.
All right. We'll be right back.